Blog Talk Radio.
From a
socio-environmentally induced stress and its reaction to the stress. And the stress, your social environment. If you're around violence all the time, if you're around people who fight all the time, or if every time you leave your house, you witness someone being shot, or you witness people fighting, or people doing violent things to each other. If you're constantly witnessing these things, and this is what your environment is, then you're going to create this thing called the urban violence traumatic stress. And I don't even think the schools realize that this is something real. Then when they have a child that becomes very violent, they don't understand what's really going on with that child. You know, when I was teaching at a school, I had some children that were very violent. I had this one child, he was afraid of male figures, and he became very violent. But they always sent him to me, him and his sister, because I guess I just knew how to talk to them. And they saw me as the calm for the storm. But people don't understand. I kept saying, what has happened in his life? I would ask his mom, what happened in his life that was so violent that he has this streak in him and this fear in him? And then people wonder, well, these children are just violent. They don't care. Well, this urban violence traumatic stress, it reacts in a way with a child that when they different ways, and most of the time it's in a violent way, and they have no self-worth. Now, I've been praying every day for our children in the inner cities, and I was trying to figure out when are they going to love and respect themselves and love and respect each other. You know, I pray that they pull their pants up, and I don't understand, you know, I have young people in my family, and I don't understand why don't they love each other enough? Where is it coming from where they can just take this weapon and put it in their hands and just kill? Well, it comes from this violent traumatic stress. It causes a behavior where they don't care about life, because the pain that they, from all this traumatic experiences that they've had, it makes them like numb to what we see as life, to what we see as worth. And they don't feel safe, and they don't feel confident in themselves. It's like they're at war every day. And this is what they go through day in and day out, walking to school, or internalizing. And these video games that they have, it doesn't help, because a lot of the games are violent. The music is violent. See, it's a lot of things. And this just didn't happen yesterday. This has been going on for quite some time. And they know this. This study has been going on since the 70s. And I guess you would say, well, where did the stress come from? Where did this violence come from? Well, remember, in the 50s, there was a big heroin epidemic in our inner cities across the country. You had a lot of people that were addicted to heroin because, once again, the government pumped in all this heroin into our communities. And we had a lot of people addicted. So, been around an addict, a lot of addicts are violent. Alcohol creates a violent atmosphere, unstable atmosphere. And these children are the product of these type of families. And it doesn't have to be violent. It could be something where they saw something violent happen, whether it was someone that they loved that was murdered, someone that they loved that died tragically, maybe in a car accident or in a fire, and they were there and they witnessed all of this. This is a traumatic, stressful situation for children. And a lot of us, we just say, oh, care. These kids don't care. They go around, they have no respect for themselves, no respect for life. They don't care. It's just black on black. They just take the gun and shoot each other. But they never say, hey, why? It wasn't like this when I was young. Or they never take the time to go into the inner cities and talk to these children, or maybe spend a day with these children. Just try to figure out how to spend a day with them. Oh, I'm not going to go down there. It's too dangerous, you know. Don't drive through that neighborhood at night. It's dangerous. You know, we all know that. Don't drive around there. You don't want to get caught over there. But it's really interesting how we know this across the country. In every city, we know the neighborhood that we don't want to go to. But we don't think about those children that don't have a choice. They live there. They wake up to this. They go to bed to this. And let's not talk about the ones who witness this violence day in and day out. And they don't even have any food. They don't have any shelter. They don't have any clean clothes. I mean, they're living worse than these war veterans, than these war people that they talk about now. These I'm not thinking right now what they call them, but they're talking about these people that are running from that other country right now. They're trying to figure out what to do with them because they need to get away because it's so dangerous. But nobody's thinking about these children that are murdered every day. They just sit here and say, oh, it's black-on-black crime. No one's taking responsibility for it. And they try to tell us, oh, they stole the guns out of a car. You know, a handgun is the guns they're using. But how do you get an AK-47? Where do you get that from? You know, there's a lot of pain when you can just shoot and kill constantly the way this has been going on in our country. But like T.I. said, the government should be coming up with a task force to investigate this. But they don't want this to stop. They like this form of genocide. They're planting the guns and the drugs, and they're making it harder and harder for our children to be educated with the overcrowded classrooms, the books that tear up when you pick them up that are just so old the children don't even want to read out of them. The dirty, nasty, rundown schools. You know, I had someone in my family that was attending high school, and we found out that she had stopped going because she was so depressed. So one of my family members went up to the school and tried to find out what's going on. And as she got on the elevator, trash in the elevator, chicken bones in the elevator, people doing all kind of nasty things in the hallway. Who wants to be a part of that? If you're a child that to learn, and you're that fish in that bowl that's fighting for your survival, sooner or later, it's going to get to you if everything around you is depressing and you have no way out. But we were able to talk to her and get her to understand that it was very important that she doesn't give up and that she graduated. But mind you, I had to call the principal a couple of times just to get the date of the graduation. He had not even planned the date yet. He had not even put it on the calendar yet. So we sit here and we wonder, why is there black-on-black crime? We don't understand. It's all of ours fault. It's America's fault. America's so busy looking at other countries trying to figure out and help their children, but they don't want to help their own. And we know why they don't want to help their own. We know the answer to that. They just want to write it off as black-on-black crime. Well, we have to understand that it's not, and that it starts somewhere. And I'm going to give you some examples of this UVTS. It's real, you guys. It's real. And this is the truth, and we have to understand it. You know, you have some children that see somebody get shot every day. They hear shootings every day. They know what to do. They run and hide under the bed, or they get underneath the window or behind a big furnace or something. They know the gunshots. They know the helicopters. But still, we look at other countries and we look at their children and we feel sorry for them because they're in a war zone. But our children have been in a war zone for so many years. So many presidents have come and gone, and not one has done anything about this zone in the inner cities that is worse than any war zone that has ever existed across the world. They see their parents or someone they know get knifed or go in and out of jail or fighting or somebody get pushed out of a window or someone just thrown off the freeway. And then we wonder how they can just go out there and first thing they see on the streets is drugs. They don't even have to walk to the end of the corner before they encounter someone with drugs, whether they're selling or using it. See, before they get to that McDonald's or that supermarket that may hire them in the neighborhood, they're going to encounter the drugs first. That's what they're going to see. That's what's going to be right there for them. That's going to be easy. They don't have to fill out an application for that job. They don't have to do anything. And guess what? They don't have to be 15 or 16 to get that job. All they have to do is walk outside their door and be able to do what that person tells them to do. And they'll get paid for that very easy at a very young age. We don't think about this, but the government does. You better believe everything I'm telling you right now, the government already knows. But what are they doing about it? Not a thing. This has been going on for ages. And then they do research. And some children, they're fortunate enough to receive therapy. But because most of the literature that's written about these children, it identifies the problem, but it doesn't tell you how to intervene with these children. So you can't really begin to do much therapy with them because you don't know how to do the therapy. So the treatment is not there. It's very negative. It's not conducive to the problem. And it's sad because they have to go back to this violent community. What other choice do they have? And you know, every time they may try to move into a different community. They, in Chicago, they moved the people to the projects down. But they placed them in another area where they were mostly confined to that area. And all they saw was the same type of people doing the same type of things, just in a new environment. Because you know for a fact, when it comes to this country, it's very segregated. The rich live with the rich and the poor live with the poor. In most towns, it's segregated by race as well. So the problem continues as we move these people out of the urban into another situation. And then when you move them, maybe to the suburbs, then before long, that turns into an urban neighborhood because the stores don't want to be there, the businesses don't want to be there, the rich don't want to be there, the other races don't want to be there. So once again, they're right back into this urban place that is filled with drugs. Because remind you, when you look across the country and you look across the places where the drugs are sold, and most of them are sold, where are they? Areas. Now, we know for a fact that other races use just as many drugs as African Americans do, just as many. But for whatever reason, the effect and the fallout is mostly, it happens to the African American person, whether it's jail, death, violence, it's all in the urban areas. So we have to really understand what is going on with our children and what they're witnessing day in and day out. You hear on the news, there was a murder, there was a murder, there was a murder. Across the country, increases 20%, 30%, 40% in the major cities, is witnessing all of these murders day in and day out. Our children, that's who's witnessing, even if it's not black on black, because mind you, we don't know. Most of the time they say, oh, we don't have a suspect, but they're telling us it's black on black crime when there is no suspect. But it's happening in our urban communities with black people being murdered. And our black children are witnessing this. If they're not witnessing it, they're a part of it because it's some of their family members that have been murdered. So they know. And before they're old enough to even understand death, they have to deal with it. Now, we're afraid into their neighborhood, but they're living it. This is sad. This is really, really sad. And there are cases, you can go on the internet and you can Google urban violence traumatic stress. And you'll see cases about different children and what happened to them. Now, some suffer this traumatic stress, and they're able to move forward in their lives, and some are not. Some become very paranoid, just like the post-traumatic stress that people get when they've been on drugs. They become very paranoid. The children, they become very paranoid. They don't trust anyone. They don't trust their friends. They don't trust their families. They think that the world is against them. This is real. Some take out their anger in a very violent way, and they want to kill because the pain is so deep inside of them, and they don't know where to put this pain. And you've seen it before where they say when you're in pain, if you cut yourself, it releases the pain. Well, sometimes when a person that is suffering from this traumatic stress is in that type of pain, and all they know is death that's associated with that pain, they believe that if they kill someone, removed. Or either they turn to substance abuse, alcohol, cocaine, which is very easy to get. Remind you, it's very easy to get. Drugs are very easy to get in this country. Very easy. Easier to obtain than trying to go and get a decent meal. Like I've expressed to you before, they walk outside their house. Before they can get halfway down the street, there the drugs are. Before they can get to a food pantry, there the drugs are. Before they can get to a place for a meal, there the drugs are. The bump pop trucks come down the street, there the drugs are. You know, it's everywhere. What do? We continue to turn a blind eye constantly. We just say, oh, that those kids, they just don't care. They just don't care. They wear their pants sagging. They just don't care. They just want to hurt and kill. But we never ask why. How did it come to this? Oh, I know why. Because they got everything. They don't want to work for nothing. They don't care about life. They just, because they're so used to having everything. No, that's not the problem. That is not the problem. The problem is the world in which they live in. And it's damaging, you guys. It's very, very damaging. Now, years ago, in 1987, there was a book written called There Are No Children Here. And it was about some projects in Chicago, about two brothers. And then you may remember because in 1992, Oprah Winfrey did a movie about it. And it talked about the experiences that these children went through. And they called it There Are No Children Here because, as I expressed, the things that they go through every day, an adult could not go through this. They don't have a time to be children. They don't have the time to enjoy the life walking down the street, smelling the flowers, thinking about different thoughts in their mind when they're on their way to school. Think about when you were young, you were on your way to school, and what you thought about. Think about when you got home, what you thought about. How innocent you were. Well, these children don't have that innocence anymore. They have to worry about if they're going to get their wearing stolen from them, if they're going to have to go around the corner the other way to keep from having to deal with that drug dealer there or that person that is just not right standing there on that corner, or if they're going to be the victim of a drive-by. You know, if that gang member is going to continue to harass them until they say, okay, I'll join the gang. This is what they have to go through day in and day out. Now, also, there were other specials and movies that were done by NPR called Ghetto Life 101, where they spent time with these young guys out of the projects, also from Chicago, the Ida B. Wells projects, and they talked about their life, Ghetto Life 101, and what it was like. And they went on to create another documentary about the murder of this little 5-year-old, where His killers were 10 and 11-year-old little boys who threw him out the window because he would not give them some candy. This happened back in the 90s, you guys, back in the 90s. We all saw it happen. All the governors, all the presidents, all the politicians, all the pastors, all the priests, all the clergymen, everybody. We saw it happen. All these things, just as we sit here today and see it happening. But we don't want to do anything about it. We just want to continue to say, if we get rid of the guns and if the gun laws were better, then this wouldn't happen. Not really understanding, just like we saw the fallout from the Vietnam War and how we got all these homeless people when the wars were over. We understood that. We understood the traumatic stress that our veterans went through and how they became homeless. We understood that. And the government is working today on programs trying to help them. But we don't want to understand the roots of the black man's problem in this country. We don't really understand it. We don't want to understand it. The Black Panther Party, they saw it. In Oakland, California, they came up with a breakfast program to feed these children before they went to school because they realized a lot of children go to school and never have a meal. The only meal they're going to get is that lunch. They're not in jail. Why are they being punished this way? Oh, it's their parents' fault. It doesn't matter. Whose fault is it that we're going to have all those refugees? Whose fault is it that we're going to have all these people that are trying to come here because their country is at war? We don't say to them, oh, it's your country's fault. They need to get it together. And we have these people arguing now about the immigrants. Oh, they need to come here. Why are we trying to run them away? But then we don't take care of home. I don't understand it. You know, it really hurts my heart because this is serious. And it's not even on the table for discussion. It's just swept under the rug, and it continues. And now it's blown into this big volcano waiting to erupt. And they call it black-on-black crime instead of what it really, truly is. It is urban violence traumatic stress. So I challenge everybody out there to please do your research and find your truth because it's there to see. And next time you're in the inner city driving through, try to pay attention to what you truly see. Try to see those children and see beyond their facial expressions. Look into their hearts. Look into their minds. And try to really, truly see what's really going on. So until next week, as I say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. And I thank you guys for listening. And I appreciate you. Until next week, stay true and be blessed. And I'm Terry Littlejohn, and keep praying for our children. Good night. Cause we know.